Chris Gibson, I guess it is no secret that you are carefully looking at running for governor of New York. What do you have to do to get to be governor?
Well, great to be back with you, number one. Number two is, let me just reinforce for all the listeners that my number one priority right now is to finish strong, to be the best representative that I can be for the people of the 19th Congressional District. And so working 7 days a week for them. We're having our most effective legislative session to date. A number of initiatives, whether it be, you know, fighting Lyme disease or mental health support for veterans, a series of initiatives that help our servicemen and women, provisions that help farmers, a number of different things we have helped get into law and others that we've helped get through the U.S. House.
I take it this is we means you.
Me is the principal author.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, but nobody gets anything done in a democracy by themselves. I mean, I may have been the author for a lot of these initiatives. But this was through the significant help of, like in New York State, my colleagues on both sides of the aisle in New York State and with the administration. So I wanted to say that, number one, because that is priority number one, is my service. Now, with regard to the future, indeed, I'm very seriously looking at the possibility of running for governor in 2018. I think we need a whole fresh start. A lot of concern in this state about us not reaching our potential, the once empire state. Much that can be done, I think, in terms of job creation, also just in terms of reaffirming faith in our ability to be self-governing. A lot of concern about the corruption in Albany. I plan to lead by example. If I end up taking this on, I'm going to lead by example. And that includes self-imposing term limits, asking the legislature to help me codify that into law, giving back my pension should I get elected so I don't double dip in the time.
I think
that
everybody has to understand that you get a pension from the
Army. My time in the military,
and other people would, in fact, take that pension and take this one, but you don't think that's right.
Well, no. I mean, by law, I mean, I've earned this 29 years in uniform, but I didn't think it was right that I should at once collect a paycheck for serving as a congressman and collect a paycheck from the taxpayers from that pension. So I give my pension back while I'm serving in the Congress.
And you are aware, Chris Gibson, that there are legislators who retire and 2 days later run for political office again and take a pension and their salary in the legislature. That's just wrong, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, you know, I mean, that's part of an overall package, I think, that we need to address. And look, we've got to inspire people, I think, including legislators, to come. There's some good folks. Let's just say this, too. There's some good folks who are working in Albany. There are some folks who have, in a couple dozen cases, notorious cases of really egregious corruption. And so when you look at the economy, you look at corruption, and then you look at education, I think we need a whole new direction in education. I think that there's a lot can be done in the state to bring people together to forge a new direction in New York State. So you asked the question, what must be done? Well, you know, somebody like myself, not widely known outside the Hudson Valley, maybe parts of the Capital District, and I guess, you know, just outside my congressional district, there's a lot I would need to do to get better known. And one thing I have is a work ethic all my life. I've worked very hard. And, you know, I recognize that I would have to start early. I mean, this is one of the reasons why you know, I've even said at this point that I'm interested, although I haven't made a final decision, is because I recognize the challenge. This challenge is like no other challenge that I've seen before. 20 million people in this state, many, many media markets. Voter enrollment of over 2-to-1 for the Democratic Party, which makes it tougher for myself, a Republican, to win, but not impossible. I think you have to start early. You have to build a grassroots operation. You have to raise the money, and then you have to be disciplined to go out and find the voter coalitions that will come out to support. I think it's there. So, you know, we're continuing to look at this very extensively, and I would say stay tuned.
So if you get the nomination, could you beat Andrew Cuomo if he decides to run?
Yes. Yes.
You think he's vulnerable?
He's vulnerable. And look, you know, you look at my last election, I'm in a congressional district that President Obama carried both times, in 2008 and 2012. In 2012, he won by over 6 points in my congressional district, and I was outspent by over 2-to-1. this in 2014, and yet I won by 30 points. The New York Times, hearing about this possibility that I could prevail in a circumstance like this, sent a reporter up, Michael Barbaro, and he did a lot of research in our district, wrote, a very extensive piece that appeared in the New York Times on the 30th of October of 2014, and he documented that I was getting significant bipartisan support. And that was reflected in the exit polls and also the results with the 65-35 win. So, you know, I think that I have the model that if I can gain enough traction across the state, that we can absolutely defeat Andrew Cuomo.
And where is Andrew Cuomo's vulnerability?
A number of levels. Really on a personal level, I think he's perceived as a bully, somebody who has not treated people right. I also think that the perception is out there that when someone doesn't fully support him, that he'll hold that grudge and certainly try to even that score. And I think that that is part of his personality, perceived anyways, and, you know, I think leaves him vulnerable. And then I think he's made some poor judgments, too, just in terms of education, what he did there. I think he got way out in front. You know, we didn't even include the stakeholders in that reform. How could it be that we didn't include teachers and administrators in a substantive way before we advanced in such an aggressive manner on Common Core? I think that was a big mistake. And even, quite frankly, on the issue of safe and secure, Alan, we may even disagree on this, but I think safe and secure is an absolute issue. I know there's some presidential candidates who say stuff happens. I totally disagree. I think the first function of government is to protect its people. I just respectfully would say that gun control does not work. Because why? Because you're targeting law-abiding citizens. I think that if you want safe and secure, you address three things. One is mental health. Let's recognize that the major issues we've had in Sandy Hook and in Colorado and in Arizona and in California, these are issues with individuals with psychosis, individuals who are hearing voices. We need more robust mental health support. I'm a co-author of a bill in the Congress that addresses these matters. I'm on the Congressional Caucus. My wife is a licensed clinical social worker. I get the benefit of her counsel on a regular basis. So mental health. The second thing is we have to do better as far as the relationship between law enforcement and our communities. We need to support law enforcement. Law enforcement needs to understand our communities. I applaud my sheriff in Columbia County who won a grant to actually study this and to do better. And he's looking to recruit from our minority communities and to better understand the culture and the signals in these communities so that we can diffuse potentially dangerous circumstances and enhance safe and secure. And then third is, quite frankly, the deterrence value of the Second Amendment. You know, individuals, because here's what we're talking about. The threats to safe and secure when it comes to violence are from irrational actors. These are your individuals with psychosis. And then your rational actors. These are, quite frankly, evil people who, or people hooked on drugs who want to break into your home. They want to steal your stuff and hurt you, or maybe both. And so we have to have, I believe, if we're going to be safer, and we want to be safer, then we have to address those three things. And I will tell you this much. Governor Cuomo's approach has divided this state. You have an upstate, downstate, a big divide on this, which is really unfortunate because the one thing we all agree upon is we want safer communities, including in New York City. I had an individual say to me, well, I was watching the news last night and I saw a mom in Bronx and she was very upset because there had been shooting in her street last night. And, you know, what do you got to say about that? Well, what I have to say about that is I understand that woman. I mean, she's totally right. The first function of government is to protect its people. What we need are viable alternatives that allow us to improve safe and secure. So I think on the issues of the economy, on the issues of corruption, on the issues of education and in freedoms and in approaches, effective approaches to safe and secure, we can put together a coalition that will basically fire Andrew Cuomo.
Chris Gibson, love to talk to you. Hope you come back again real soon. And maybe I'll meet you for coffee at the new bagel place in Kinderhook.
Oh, you need to come. I'm loving that place.
We ate the other day. It was fabulous.
Thanks so much, and great to be with you. And best wishes to all the listeners out there.